A couple of weeks ago, IMF chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn was arrested in New York for sexually assaulting a hotel housekeeper. And I have to say that initially I didn't pay that much attention because it seemed to me just another instance of powerful men behaving very badly. And that included men like Ben Stein, who said that Strauss-Kahn couldn't be guilty because economists don't rape. But last week, an email that went around made me sit up and take notice. This email was entitled Global Feminists Demand Let Justice Be Done. It's circulating an internet petition in support of the survivor, and it's signed by about 36 well-known feminists. Two of the signers and the people who are circulating this petition are joining me now by phone. Judith Ezekiel is a visiting professor in women's studies at Wright State University in Ohio. She makes her home in Toulouse, France, and is author of Feminism in the Heartland, A Social History of the Second Wave. Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz needs little introduction to Bay Area residents. She co-founded the Ethnic Studies and Women's Studies departments at Hayward State University. She's the author of numerous books, including Outlaw Woman, A Memoir of the War Years, and Roots of Resistance, A History of Land Tenure in New Mexico. Thanks, both of you, for making time for us on Women's Magazine.
Thank you for having us.
Judith, perhaps I'll start with you. You know, there are so many rape cases and so many involving powerful people every year. Why was it necessary to have a specific petition around this particular case?
Well, my story is you know, each of us have a different point of arrival into this question. I was contacted by Slate.com to comment on Slate.fr's assertion that French feminists were not reacting to this. And that was 24 hours after you learned about it. And later on, 4 or 5 days later, when there was, it was clear that French feminists and feminists around the world were reacting, people started saying, don't jump the gun, you're being too hasty. So we were sort of damned if we did and damned if we didn't. So I polled a couple of my email lists in France, one of which I created, and asked people how they were responding to this, and tried to summarize the reactions that I got from a few dozen feminists in France and also from some organizations. So I brought this discussion in, and several other people brought this discussion into a network of international feminists, and our discussion resulted in a couple of points. One is that it was extremely important to show that this was neither a French nor an American situation, but an international situation, and that feminists both in France and the U.S. Agreed. Another concern of ours was that there was a lot of press and political class reaction saying that Strauss-Kahn was the victim and the alleged victim was being ignored, and we wanted to support her. And we also wanted to denounce the media coverage and the political coverage that we found to be extremely misogynist and also, in some cases, as things progressed, racist and colonialist. In France, for instance, there were comments about Strauss-Kahn, as we wrote, being too civilized to commit such a violent crime.
Roxanne, can you talk about what the petition is specifically calling for and what you hope it will accomplish?
Well, we're really making the case, you know, specifically for this victim of rape, but also raising the issue again, as it seems to have faded from people's consciousness, of opposing rape and violence against women. We had a kind of resurgence of that consciousness with the, you know, vagina monologues in the early part of the last decade. And it just seems like we can never, you know, it's an unending process to raise consciousness. And some of the comments that were being made, we felt we had to address, you know, what is rape, what is violence against women. So I think it's really expressing our sense of deep feminism that seems to be annoying quite a few people too, I found, especially some men who want to make it. And it was, you know, one of my first reactions, because I'm a very strong anti-imperialist activist, and my first thought was, wow, this is the same man who's raping Africa is raping an African, you know? I mean, that analogy. And then I began to see that being written by almost every leftist friend I have, and some I don't even know who are leftists, that this analysis without, and some of them women, without any sense that this was a particular victim. You know, we should be talking about rape at this moment and not necessarily what the IMF does, you know, to use it as a simply a launching point to talk about the harm that IMF does in the world because the man happened to be president of it.
Yeah, I would agree entirely with what Roxanne just said, and similarly, I come out of anti-imperialist activism back to the opposition to the war in Vietnam, and I don't disagree with a lot of what's being said about the IMF and about the French role in international politics. However, not only is this a specific woman with a specific victim who's not a metaphor, but also, I'm coming out more and more, surprising myself, just saying this is really fundamentally about gender. And of course it's racialized, of course there are issues of class, but in 07, there was a television program in France in which the name of the rapist or the alleged rapist was beeped out, but a white upper-class journalist, Tristan Bannon, described an attempted rape and has recently come out and said that, yes, it was Dominique Strauss-Kahn. So that's such a vivid illustration of how, even though, yes, the fact that this woman was an African immigrant makes it all the more poignant, makes support of her all the more important, no doubt exacerbated the situation in which it occurred and will make the defense harder for her and her life harder, but rape crosses, as we say, it crosses all strata of society and happens around the globe. Our manifesto or petition has resonated among women all over the world. I just found out this morning that it's been translated into Turkish, as well as the French, Spanish, and English that we have up on the change.org website. And other people have asked about translating it to other languages.
So, Judith, I wanted to ask about specifically, I was reading an interview with you in Slate, and it mentioned some of the responses in the French media to this incident, including, it seemed to me that it was saying that a number of leftist politicians in France and media outlets had actually made really offensive statements in support of Strauss-Kahn.
Yes. One of the things that's happening here is that the Francophobia in the U.S. and the anti-Americanism in France are emerging a little bit. And I think that it was much easier for these comments to be made because he was arrested. Strauss-Kahn was arrested in the United States. Now, one of the criticisms I think was extremely well-founded, which is that the French were very shocked by seeing Strauss-Kahn in handcuffs on television, and that is illegal in France. Only has been illegal for a relatively short period of time. It's a relatively recent law, but I agree with that, and I think in the U.S. it does decrease the possibilities of a fair trial. But the other comments, indeed, there were all sorts of extremely sexist comments. And when we say that they were also occurring on the left, we're talking about the center left, the Socialist Party, and people who support the Socialist Party as well as others. They're not leftists. They're more like the equivalent of Democrats these days. For instance, Jacques Lang, the former Minister of Culture under Mitterrand, said that after all, no man was killed. They used the generic male mean to nobody was killed, but it was no man was killed. Badinter, who had been the Minister of Justice under Mitterrand, an eminent legal scholar, talked about this being a media lynching. There were several other comments, like Jean-François Kahn said that he very much doubts that this was really a rape, that maybe it was, and he used sort of an antiquated term that I think means something like a quickie. Maybe it was a quickie and it wasn't a violent rape. If it was a rape, he had to resign as a result. So there were extremely sexist comments made in the first 24 to 48 hours. We were extremely shocked by those comments, but I think that has started to change, however. Now, part of that comes from just plain sexism and misogyny. Part of that comes from anti-feminism, which is yet another category. And part of that comes out of the incredible fear that people have that this will throw the election to the right wing, which will be a catastrophe. And as polls went right before this arrest, Strauss-Kahn had the best chance of being elected in a threesome with the neo-fascist Marine Le Pen and the current president Sarkozy, who was elected as a racist. He was elected specifically after extremely racist comments he made sparked the largest riots that France had seen since May 68. So that choice is a pretty bad choice. The problem, however, is that what needs to happen is not that people defend Strauss-Kahn, of course, but that the socialists seriously step up, reform some positions, and get us a really good candidate for the next election so that the right wing or the far right doesn't win the next presidential election.
And I saw a comment, and you sort of alluded to this in that article in Slate, in which you expressed a concern that this incident would fuel anti-Americanism, which in turn would hurt French feminists. And
I think that Francophobia in the United States is toxic for us. I think where do we see that emerge? We see it emerge when people say, oh, look, the French can't have a social welfare. They can't continue with this social welfare system. We can't have socialized medicine or even a moderately reformed medical system here because the French aren't going to be able to keep up with this. Every time we have anti-French sentiment, it's used against the people in the United States in these past years that I've been observing. Every time we've had anti-Americanism in France as well, it ends up being toxic for us. So, for instance, one example I give in another article is that in 91, when Véronique Neiertz, a minister, was preparing the sexual harassment law for France, the bill, it was right at the time of the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas affair, and a lot of the French public intellectuals considered that to be just a question of an American war of the sexes, not like in France, where men and women get along well. Now, I say public intellectuals. This was not the feminist movement. We're talking about a few individuals who may call themselves feminists, but who have access to the media. And in as a reaction to that, Neiertz limited the law to cut out things like peer harassment and hostile environment, and French women suffered from it. So I'm very worried that and that's one of the reasons why I think this petition is so important. We're talking constantly to French feminist organizations, and they're talking to others, and we're trying to coordinate so that this does appear as an international response, not an American, not a French response, but an international response in which we agree on a lot of the basics.
Mm-hmm.
All the various feminist groups in France have reacted. There's another petition that's going around that's just simply against all of the sexism that's been demonstrated since this alleged rape, with a lot of signatures on it, including a lot of very famous people. There have been two demonstrations, one right after the affair broke on Sunday, and one in which a group called, several groups, but one of them is called La Barbe, which literally means beard, but it also means fed up or a pain. And they put on fake beards and demonstrated in front of the National Assembly with banners and signs with some of the sexist quotes, including the one from Jacques Lang saying that no man died. So there is a response. It's been with a good sense of humor. The French movement does have a pretty lively sense of humor and media sense.
So is there anything other than signing the petition, which people can do by going to change.org or to our website, which is kpfawomensmag.blogspot.com? Is there anything else that you are asking people to do?
Well, I think what we really hope people would do is not just passively sign, but also send it with messages to all of their contacts, and we're to really be able to and get it printed, you know, in newspapers, small towns, anywhere, read on the radio, to really some activism around it. And I think, you know, that the changes, like, that we see going on in France and I assume in other parts of Europe is really good to see, you know, those first reactions and then those people kind of fading back, you know, and keeping their mouth shut, and then the women really speaking out. So I think it's a teachable moment, you might say, and it's a and there are legal implications in every country in the world. I did hear that in West Africa, you know, the main where she's from, Guinea, the main newspapers and media and all are in Dakar, you know, it's kind of the capital of West Africa, and that they are absolutely, without a doubt, that she's not credible and that he was set up. I guess maybe the powers that be there are afraid they'll lose their IMF loans or something.
Although I'm one of the early signers of the petition because we now have registered about 2,000, and I'm sure we have a lot more because there have been a few glitches with the signing. People should really make sure that their name appears on the recent signatures when they do sign.
Yeah, but you know, I tried to sign it yesterday, and I don't think I succeeded.
But one of the first people to sign is a Ghanaian activist I know in France who's the daughter of a very famous Pan-African labor leader from right after the independence. And she is also a labor activist and one of the leaders of a confederation of black organizations in France. And she's also related. She's a cousin of the current Ghanaian president. So there are certainly West Africans. We have signers from Senegal, from Guinea, and a lot of diaspora. A lot of the people signing are diaspora people from all over the world. We're also asking for contributions to a legal fund that's currently being set up at Judson Memorial Church, and that information is on the petition itself. We'd like to support financially the campaign, the union, and the money needed for this woman to survive and to face the whole procedure that awaits her. So there is an address for a women's fund to contribute money to that, which also leads me to the fact that one of the crucial things that we wanted to draw attention to as well was that this happened in large part also because the woman was a part of a union. The hotel was unionized, and a large percentage of New York hotels are unionized. And with current attacks in the United States on the unions, I think it's an important lesson for us as women to see how important, to see how crucial it's been that she be a part of a union.
When you say this happened, you mean that this came out and that she was able to actually press charges against him?
Yeah, I don't think that she would have been able to go to her administration and even speak of this rape, and I don't think that they would have taken Dominique Strauss-Kahn off the airplane if there hadn't been support from a labor union.
I'm Kate Raphael, and this is Women's Magazine on KPFA 94.1 FM and online at kpfa.org. I've been speaking with authors and activists Judith Ezekiel and Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, and we have been talking about the rape allegations against former IMF chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn and the global feminist campaign to support the survivor and demand justice in that case. Thank you both so much for taking the time to talk to us on Women's Magazine.
Thank you for the magazine.
Thank you, Kate.